For February the 14th, we talk about Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, the Resident Evil Netflix leak, and we ask you which video game character would be worst at your job. Welcome to Level 316. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Jella Prendes.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome one, welcome all. Welcome back, Jella.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Good to have you back on. We are rocking it freestyle this time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. What else?
The efficient combo, as you pointed out before the show.
Yes. Yes. I have not done any kind of analysis. Because we've been going for so long that it, the episode lengths have gotten longer and shorter as time goes. But if I did some kind of like regression analysis comparing all of the different combos and the episode length, this would be the combo that results in the shortest episodes.
Yes. With three or more people. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
We only did a 5-person episode the one time, right?
Yeah. For episode 100, I think. Was it 100
or 200? It's been a while. Maybe. I don't know. One of those.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. No, and I remember that one was so long that the title was The Night is Forever or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you been up to, Jala?
Well, Windows blew up on me. And so I've been fixing my PC and my Surface. So I've been basically in computer hell trying to get all of that worked out, which is very exciting. Also, in weird to me anyway, although it's also very natural at the same time, the number of costumes that I'm going to be wearing to Dragon Con has grown.
What?
It is not just Jalakuma and the Lena dressed as Naga, which I'm going to be doing for the bodybuilding show.
Yeah.
But then now I'm also doing Android 18 for Dragon Ball. Because I was talking to Dave about what character he should play for the bodybuilding show, and he has this scar in the middle of his chest from when his lungs collapsed and he needed, like emergency resuscitation or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he's got this big scar in the middle of his chest, and so I was looking at it and I was like, that's it. Because he wanted to play a bald character because he is, bald. So I was like, Krillin, dead Krillin, you're playing dead Krillin. And so he totally is. And I was like, well, if you're going as Krillin, that means I have to make Android 18. That's a really easy costume, so I'm going to do it.
How are you going to work the hair?
Wig?
Okay. I forgot about wigs. I always forget about wigs.
Yeah. Wait, is this David Moneysmith, friend of the show, who's bald?
No.
All right.
No.
All right. No, just checking.
And I'm not going to talk about it during my grind, but also at some point I played co-op. I don't know if David mentioned it last time because we had played before the last show. But I played co-op Vermintide 2 with Greg, David, and Dave.
Oh, I'm sure that got confusing.
So, and the first time I mentioned Dave when I was talking about PAX South, I was so tired that I kept on scrambling. When I was trying to talk about Dave, I was saying David. And when I was talking to David, I was calling him Dave. So, damn these people with their samey names. Literally the same name. Yeah. So, anyway. So, that's what I got.
Very cool.
Yay.
Yeah. No, I've been thinking a lot about Dragon Ball recently because of Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
Yeah. So,
what is that?
That is the kind of like action RPG they put out that retells Dragon Ball Z, like all the sagas. I'm curious about it because I am perpetually like nostalgic for that show, but I understand it's not good, but also I liked it a lot when I was, in middle school. So
what you should watch is Dragon Ball Abridged.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's funny as hell.
Okay.
And it's done by Team Four Star. It's a redubbing and they shorten all the episodes and they're hilarious.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
I mostly experience it now by reading the TV Tropes pages for it, but even those are incredibly long.
You just try watching an episode of Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
Gotcha.
And it's like 15 minutes maybe. So it's within like the Jala time limit of how much time I'll sit in front of anything and watch it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is below the 20 minute threshold.
Indeed.
Cool. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. We were talking about this before the show too. I watched the Academy Awards last night. Mm. It was a pretty predictable night. It seems like there weren't a lot of upsets or anything. But yeah, it was fine. Parasite won. Mm-hmm. I think my only qualms is Lighthouse was hardly nominated for anything. I think it was just nominated for cinematography.
Yeah, but, it was only nominated for cinematography in 1917 won over that. Mm-hmm.
Which is fine.
I can understand. Yeah. I've not seen 1917. It's a feat, you know, mm-hmm. the way that they did the one-shotter for a war movie mm-hmm. and not like a little indie movie about a play, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Like Birdman was. So, like, I'm not salty about it. But, yeah, it would have been cool to see. It would have been cool to see Lighthouse get a little bit more.
Yeah.
We'll see. I have not watched it, but just from what I've been told about it, that might be was not, you know, boo 1917, but more like damn, you know.
Right, right. So, oh well. Yeah, like how was the show itself? Like, I've not watched the Oscars in forever.
Yeah, that's probably fine.
Yeah.
It's there's a lot of filler in there. I don't know. There's one of my Twitch streamer I watch did commentary along with it, so mm-hmm. I watched that as well.
Yeah.
But you're fine with just like watching the recap afterwards. I think the only noteworthy thing is some of the speeches were. It was a good night for speeches. Mm-hmm. Joaquin Phoenix gave like a minute or two long speech talking about like different ethical things, like with like animal rights, and mm-hmm. I think in other speeches you mentioned other like kind of social issues. Cool. The thing that was funny about it is did not at any point mention the Joker at all. Like, it was just purely a speech about that, and yeah. like at no point said anything about acting or a movie or anything. So I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And then the director of Parasite, Bong Ho, I forget his name, mm-hmm. But he won 4 Oscars. And I think by Oscar 2, he said, "Thank you. I'm going to be drinking all night." continued to repeat that message after he won his 3rd and 4th Oscars. So.
Yeah, well, he doesn't speak English, so he got up and he said a couple of kind of like pre-prepared phrases, and then gave the rest of his address in Korean. Is that correct? Because that's what I heard.
Kind of intermixed, yeah. Because I know at like one point when he won Best Director, he was going through and thanking the other directors, mm-hmm. In a funny way too. Like, he specifically thanked Martin Scorsese, specifically thanked Quentin Tarantino, mm-hmm. and then the other two he kind of lumped together and said, "You guys are great," you know. But yeah, no, it was that part. The speeches were lovely in mm-hmm. that sense. So
cool, nice. I heard that the Eminem performance was good. The lose yourself? Was it? Or was it?
Maybe. I don't know. I kind of tuned out after it started. I was just like, this song's like, what? Or this, yeah, it's like 15, 20 years old at this point. So it's like,
Maybe. I'm literally just basing this off of stuff that I saw like in like highlight tweets.
Yeah. And like the thing with it is there's this whole like orchestral accompaniment with it too.
Yeah.
And it seems to kind of go against like the, I guess like the rawness that the song's supposed to be. So it's just like, when I saw it at first, I'm just like, I wonder if he ever thought he'd be performing it like this, you know, like when he was writing the song at the beginning. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's just kind of hard to take those songs seriously when they're performances at that scale, you know?
Yeah. It's a little bit outsized.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And for me, I've got not an awful lot. It's just been a bunch of work, a bunch of family stuff, going back and forth to a couple different cities. Just boring. Greta's being a sweetheart, as always.
She stopped trying to escape.
Yes. Very fortunately. Very fortunately. You can look at my Instagram to see how I have thwarted that in the future, at least until I'm sure that that door will never blow open again. Yes, but she has been... She has remained committed to being an indoor kitty. So very, very thankfully.
Good.
Yeah. Cool. Well, in keeping with us being the efficient trio, let's mark off the banter there and do the regular kind of show for you, a business-like grind, to the point multiplayer and a professional end boss. And why don't we get started with...
The Grind.
The Grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Jala, you've been with the longest, so I will throw to you.
Boy, oh boy, do I have some stuff to talk about today.
Yeah, but, all right.
Let me talk about it another time. So, all right, the first thing I will mention is Deathmark. I finished chapter 2, finally. Like, remember, I was playing that game. I have been playing that game. But, like, what happens is I've been playing it, and I'm playing it late at night on my Switch, and then I've been so busy lately that I just fall asleep. Like, there have been a couple of times I have fallen asleep holding my Switch, and I'm like, okay, I just need to set this down and go to sleep. So because of that, it's taken me forever. Yeah. Forever. But I did it. I finished chapter 2, Shimi O, The Man in the Woods.
Yeah.
It would terrify you, Cole, because it has lots of bees and, like, bees burrowing into people.
Oh, no.
Things.
No.
It's pretty terrible. But here, you, like, Ben, if you want to look at it, I got a couple of videos of, like...
I saw some stuff you posted, and it was a lot.
Yeah, so these are from, the, like, the appearance of the boss at the end, and then also... when I died attempting to kill him.
Yeah.
There's kind of a little bit of a tricky bullshit to this end fight for this one, because I don't feel remiss in, you know, or upset about telling you about this. So in chapter 2, there is a particular character that you need in order to advance the plot to get to the point where you can fight the boss, but you can't have that character with you when you fight the boss, because that character flat out tells you, I'm going to go nuts if I see this thing. So don't take me. And if you do, you die.
Okay.
And so you have to go back to the mansion. Like, you have to backtrack through the entire level, go back to the mansion and go pick the other person, like one of the other people who's like hanging out and has like a death mark and you know, one of your other options for a partner.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
But
yeah,
either one of
annoying.
Those seems to work just fine.
Yeah.
But.
Like, so anyway. just to refresh people's memories, this is the visual novel with a few more mechanical flourishes, where you're playing as like a spirit detective trying to exorcise ghosts by solving supernatural murders.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, sorry. I like, you know, I should not be like, oh yeah, and then this game that I mentioned, you know, a month ago.
Several months ago.
Yeah. Like, not everybody listens to every episode.
I just want to make sure it brings people forward. Yeah.
Yeah, and I anticipate that there will be some people listening to this episode who have not listened necessarily to a couple, just on basis of the thing I'm going to talk about in a minute. But I will talk about the next thing in the list. All right. Metropolis Lux Obscura. So I mentioned this game previously. I will tell you about what this is, because Cole has shaken his finger at me in his indirect way to tell me.
Oh, no, I'm not shaking my finger at you.
I will summarize as a due diligence, good podcaster thing. So Metropolis Lux Obscura is a match 3 mechanic fighting bit,
gotcha,
film noir,
yeah.
Sin City moving comic type of game.
This
so
is the one that was made by the studio that made real porny games otherwise.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes! And so this was made by a porny game peoples, and so anyway, there's like strippers and you know, like mobs and prison and drugs and all of this stuff is in this game, because it is about the seedy underbelly, and you have just gotten out of prison, and somebody, you know, you're trying to see who framed you because you didn't do whatever you were in there for, and so on. So I finished one out of apparently 5 routes, and I managed to save a woman and her child from a killer, but it also involved me dying, so it wasn't the good ending.
Okay.
But anyway, so like I can't really expound upon that without ruining some of the stuff that happens in the game.
Mm-hmm.
However, I will say that from the first time I played this game, it seems to have gotten easier, mostly because I understand how to play it, like the flow of the game a little bit better.
Okay.
The first time around in the demo was really rough and I kept on dying. But this time it's like they set me up against multiple opponents, all that have more health than me. And I still managed to win, you know, like pretty often. Like I died a few times, but not nearly like I was before. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. What was kind of entertaining to me, at least mildly so, is the fact that when I was posting photos, or not photos, but like, you know, screenshots of this on my Twitter, nobody commented and nobody liked them. So I and people usually have something, some kind of reaction when I post stuff. So I don't know if it was the timing or if people are just like, oh my God, this film noir Sin City sexy stuff is terrible. Why is it on my feed? And then they have blocked me. I don't know if that is what happened.
I don't know if they blocked you. I just don't know if they want to see if they want to have horny likes on Maine.
Yeah. So anyway, but like a lot of what I was showing from it was not that. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, here's a picture of like this one particular scene of a fight or whatever. But mm-hmm. yeah, there definitely was. There were a few instances where I'm like, okay, this is real, because I'm entertained by this. So mm-hmm. I'm sitting here and I'm watching it. And like one of the characters, one of the female characters calls the main character, whose name is Lockhart, calls him Cockhard. And okay. I think that is very funny.
Yeah.
It makes me laugh. I was like, this is hilarious. This is like somebody's nickname is funny as hell to me. So I'm laughing my ass off this whole time playing this game. And I'm just like, great. So yeah, that's a thing that occurred in this. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, So I was talking to a friend about this game, Metropolis Lux Obscura.
Okay.
And because it is sexy, he commented on it and said that this one person that I was talking to in DM, who's like a ruck bro of mine, said that he liked it.
Okay.
And so I told him, well, you know, there are flat out adult games that are sexy games, and that's all they are. It's like, that's what their main purpose is, too. Mm-hmm. You know that, right? And he had no idea. So, so I educated him and I showed him, like, here's a link to a bunch of, like, here's a list of eroge or, you know, like adult games and so on. And then I realized when I was talking to him, like, you know, I've never played one. And I found that really, really funny, given my disposition and the fact that I'm sitting here playing Metropolis Lux Obscura and I'm not bothered but one bit by this thing. I am entertained. So I'm like, huh. I think I'm going to rectify the situation. And so I grabbed a game called Seeds of Chaos on Steam. So
okay. I'm going to put a record scratch right here. I know people, search along looking at the titles. If you are going to be looking at, searching for this, the itch.io page, it has images of this and it shows penetration. Just so you're aware, I'm not saying that out of like prudishness. I just want people to understand that like this is going to be a not safe or worse search.
Exactly. Don't go look at this if you are at work.
Unless you're whatever. Us, and we're at work right now, but it's part of the job. It's complicated.
Google search seems pretty safe, but I don't know if my safe search is on or off. So take that with a grain of salt.
I think it's probably on because like this game is trying to flaunt that as being, you know, its thing. Mm-hmm. So I'll say this. Okay, first off, don't expect me to be all gross about anything and get into real big detail. I'm not going to. Yeah. That's not my MO. This is a podcast. And while you and Gary Cole may talk about this kind of shit on Abject Suffering, this is not that show. Right. So this game is not good, but I'm going to talk about it anyway.
Okay. I'm curious on what axis it's not good.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No problem. I will tell you about it and you will learn. And by the way, it is so not good that after having played a little bit of it, in one session, I asked for a refund from Steam and I got it. And so I've got a credit in my Steam account for something else that I will pick up sometime. All right. So the story is that you're a hero who vanquished a great evil several years ago and you have since settled in a small town and you got married. And one day, some demons show up and burn the town to the ground, and they steal your wife, and then they deuce out to the place that the final battle from your prior adventure took place.
Okay.
So you start the game, and it's like, by the way, you did all this cool shit, but we're not going to have you do it. But it happened in the past, and now you're in this really boring town.
Okay.
And then they say, okay, well, these demons showed up, took your wife, and so I'm like, okay, this is the setup for the game. No, it's not. You get to this place. It says it takes like months of travel and shit, but it does it in like two paragraphs and then suddenly you're there.
Okay.
So like that's not the adventure hook. There is no like exciting thing. It's just like after many perils, he gets there. Like, okay.
I mean, to be fair, Jollet, no fantasy story has ever been about a long or unexpected journey. So
Yeah.
I mean, you're asking a lot of them.
So, and then as soon as you get there, you get thrown in a dungeon for a few months because you won't cooperate with the demons who say that they are kids of the overlord that you killed on your first adventure that we're not going to talk about right now. And they want you to help them take over the continent because all the aristocrats are squeezing money out of the poor anyway. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you? Because surely these demons will be better evil overlords than the aristocrats. And so on. And that's about as far as I got.
I'm kind of along for that ride. Okay.
So there's that. All right. And I thought there would be a lot more screwing around, and I was real disappointed because I was playing this game, and every single time somebody came on the screen, I was like, yup, now he gonna have sex with... And it never happened. Wow. Like, there was like... There were like two scenes where there was some sex that occurred. There was once with your wife, and then after that, like when you were trying to show your loyalty to the demons, and you get to pick which one you have sex with, and there's a male and a female. Okay.
But bone dry. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like I was like, okay, now they're showing one of the demons who has the wife and they are in captivity. Surely this is nope.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, now they're showing No, that's not going to happen either. Okay, so now she's come to you, and you are chained up in the dungeon, and no.
So wow. Let me get this straight. This low fantasy erotic visual novel that has penetration on its itch page is the most restrained thing in the entire world.
I know. I was just like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Like, I was expecting it to be like all over the place. I mean, that's like the point of the game, isn't it? And the thing is that, okay, if it had good writing, that would be one thing, but it doesn't. It doesn't. So what ended up happening is I went off and I read old shit that I wrote years ago because it was a lot better written than that.
Wow.
And there were typos, there were grammatical errors. Really? And then like it was just like the terrible like romance novel stuff like Love Rod and stuff. Oh my God. Eesh. Don't ever. Yeah, talk about a turnoff. This is terrible. So no. I was very upset.
That's really weird because, like, I mean, writing is hard. However, I would think that if somebody had invested in the kind of art that they have here, which is, I mean, there are like some generic style choices that I don't particularly care for, but like, it's obviously expensive art. The fact that they would pair that with amateurish writing.
But wait, there's more about that art.
Oh, okay.
So the character portraits are very nice.
Okay.
There are some scenes that seem to be drawn by one person, and then some scenes that seem to be a completely different person drawing them.
Uh-oh.
And so there's an inconsistency to all of the artwork as well.
Hmm.
So that's another thing. So it's kind of a little bit of a jarring experience where you see like the main image from this particular scene, and right. It's drawn very well. It's drawn in specific stylistic choices or whatnot, but it's pretty decent. And then the next one is just like, who did this? It's not the same person who did this image.
Is it like, and it's like obviously like stylistically cheaper?
Yes, and not only that, but like the only thing that they paid attention to is the main character's schlong. That's the only thing that has detail, and nothing gotcha. Else has detail. And it's like, well, okay, so that sure is a thing. So I was very upset by this, and I'm like, oh, this is why I've never played one of these. So that said, if anybody has played one that is a decent one, tell me, and I will see if I will try it out and see if this genre has anything that is decent enough for me, or if this is just like a big giant game. Because like I have played, okay, back when I did my first Otome game, mm-hmm. you remember I did Hakuoki, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
There's great. Like so and much more to Hakuoki than just the romance stuff, though.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. It's definitely not the, like on the most recent iteration, you can turn the romance off because that's so much not a part of the main thing.
Yeah.
But like after that I was playing a bunch of different Otome games, and then I was like, oh, most of these are crap. Huh.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, because I was trying to remember the name of the ninja one and I couldn't. But there was that ninja one and it had some softcore in it here and there. And I was like, oh, okay, it's trying to be racy or whatever. And that was like as close as I'd ever gotten to an eroge. And then I was like, oh, this is And that one was apparently so awesome that I can't remember the name of it. So, you know, I mean, damn.
Yeah.
Surely there has got to be something there, with better writing than that.
Yeah. So that flag is out there. The only thing approaching this that I have done was it's a game by Christine Love called Lady Killer in a Bind. But that does not have any straight sex in it. It is all girl on girl. And it does a lot with like bondage and power stuff as well. Mm-hmm. I like Christine Love's other stuff, and I wasn't necessarily playing it for the titillation aspect of it. It's whatever, it's drawn art, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like the actual like social game in that is pretty cool. So if you're looking for something that is like specifically, you know, like similar to what you thought Seeds of Chaos was going to be, that is not going to be it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had heard about that one too, but, you know, it's kind of like, okay, I don't.
No, that's, I understand. You don't have to justify yourself.
No. But I feel like I'm going, I should just go ahead and explain this. So I'm straight.
Right.
And, you know, it's not that I haven't seen something with lesbians in it and been like, okay, this is awesome or whatever. Right, but I'm also not particularly into BDSM. So it's like, yeah, I mean, yeah. I can play it just to play it and see what it's like. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not going to be a thing that I'm going to be like, this was so awesome. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
I don't think. You know, I mean, like, it could surprise me. I don't know. But
games take a long time to play. It's a lot of time to put into a thing that's, you know, has a lot of stuff that's like, yeah, not for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I don't know. I'd have to take a look at it and see. I will put it on a list, and I will see what else gets on that list. And depending upon what else is on the list of recommends, should people actually recommend that? I mean, like, there are probably a lot of people who are like, oh my God, I can't believe she's talking about this shit.
No, I mean, it's not for everybody.
No, it's not.
No.
But I just wanted to see if it was for me. So I was like, I should probably check it out because I'm not squeamish about it. No. So.
Yeah.
But it's worth anyway, a shot. That was, yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. At least you got your money back.
So it's fine.
Yeah, that's right.
The end. That's all I got.
The end. Cool. Well, I'm going to close this tab now. It's not making me feel great. Ben, how about you?
I have not played any Aruge this week. Okay. I, in fact, just learned how to spell that in the last 15 minutes. But. I only got one game that I played this week. I played Disco Elysium some more.
Cool.
I looked up where I was in the game, and I think I'm about halfway through, which is, I guess, surprising, because I think I put a good, like, 20 hours into it or so.
It's a long game.
Yeah, it is. 34 hours. So yeah. There's been some restarts within that, but I don't know. I mean, the game's still pretty good. There's parts that are, like, interesting. As far as like having surprising dialogue and like being able to make you chuckle, I guess, with the way that you can role play it. Pretty much your two options are you can be a good cop or you can just be batshit crazy, and you can kind of sprinkle between the two, and it's fine. I've gotten more of the the plot parts of it now because I've kind of run out of side quests to do. So now it's kind of like just going straight through the mainline quests, I think. So there was like kind of one more important choice that I just made that kind of I think is more influential in where the rest of the game goes.
Yeah.
I was surprised that I was not further along in the game than I was. But again, my pace might be quicker now. I don't know. I sang karaoke in the game. That went well. Cool. Voice acting's really good. I don't know what else to say about the game. I think as I'm playing it more and more, I'm starting to realize it's more and more possibly not for me, because the main mechanic is just talking to people. The checks are still really good, and like being able to handle all the different ways that the different parts of your mind can talk to one another in the same dialogue is really impressive, like how they handle that. There aren't any stumbles, and there's a few points where you have like maybe three or four of those things talking to one another, and like it's all handled really well. So that part's impressive. Mm-hmm. Also, the memory jar is impressive as well. I don't know if I talked about this mechanic or not, but it's basically like as you're talking to people, you might get a thought and you can invest like your upgrade points to just think about that thought for like 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And then you'll get some change in benefit at the end of it. And it might be a good thing. It might be a bad thing.
Yeah.
One of them, for example, is you can focus on the idea of being like a boring cop. And if you do that, I think it's a bad effect. Like all your ceilings of your perks are lowered and like you just, but they're evened out. So right. I don't know. It's
yeah.
The interesting thing with that is I've already like maxed out all the different like thoughts that I can focus on.
Okay.
So you have to start investing in forgetting them, which is kind of like a not great mechanic. Like I feel like it should be free to like respec, mm-hmm. but it's not. So that was one kind of like downer with that system, but I'm already like fooled up, so I'm not really like focusing a lot more on that. I'm kind of investing my points now into upgrading different parts of my mind in order to retry events. The checks that they have, they call them like white events and or like white checks and red checks, and the white checks are retryable if you invest more points into whatever it is, and the red checks are not. Mm. So that's kind of how I'm interacting with it right now. But yeah. I'm happy about the point. Like looking back at the game, you die a lot at the very beginning. I feel like because there's like you're just not. I don't know. I guess I wasn't afraid of trying a lot of like physical challenges that could possibly fail, and then you die if you drop 2 health points or whatever if that's all you have. So I don't know. Yeah, still in a weird place with this game.
Yeah.
I do want to get through it though, since so many people speak so highly of it. I want to see if. Like the better part of the game is in the back half.
Did you go into it expecting something kind of more akin to like a KOTOR, you know, where you have the dialogue and, you know, different checks and things like that, but it is, you know, kind of interleaved with combat kind of stuff? Or
I wasn't really, I mean, I knew like from seeing trailers of the game that was a walking around talking to people type game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm fine with that. It's just, there's not any other mechanic to break that up, I guess. And so maybe that's why it starts getting a little tedious. And it's only, I mean, there's certain, it depends. Like, certain people you talk to are fine, and it's, like, fluid, and, like, you stay with the conversation. But since I was, and I'm probably playing it wrong, because I'm trying to be a completionist and, like, go through each thing. And some of the conversations you have are just very long and drawn out. And in some cases, that's the point of it. But sometimes it's kind of hard to not want to just blow through conversations, like, without reading it thoroughly. So,
yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't know. So, parts on me, I think, for sure, if not all. So, mm-hmm. But we'll see. I think I'll probably beat this game within a week or two. So,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that all you had?
That's all I got.
Okay. I'll do mine, although I've not done an awful lot more of it. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Fallen Order Jedi. Fallen Jedi Order. I just mix them around until you find the one that's actually a game. Yeah, this is the Star Wars game that kind of takes cues from the Souls series and also from like Uncharted, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. It's fun. I you know, everything that I said last week, you know, still continues, you know, to hold. It is, you know, a super pretty game. It is fun playing as a Jedi. You know, swinging a lightsaber around and things like that. Customizing your poncho is cool. It's a little cooler to customize your lightsaber. You find like different lightsaber parts in the ruins of Jedi places and things like that. You know, I've been doing some more kind of more complicated fights, and it's kind of weird to get used to the pace of the combat. It's more quick than I am used to, but also like the timing windows are a little bit more, you know, lax than okay. I'm used to as well, like from the rest of the series. So, you know, the window for parrying has generally gotten wider as the Soul series has gone on. This mm-hmm. one seems to be even wider than the widest it ever got. So you have a lot of time in order to, you know, successfully, you know, rebuke an attack and do, you know, damage in return. At least that's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just because I'm working through Demon Souls, which is, you know, a lot less forgiving even than later Souls games, in regards to certain timing kind of element kind of things. Mm-hmm. That, like, my new observations are pretty much that, like, there's one way that this definitely falls down for me in terms of, you know, if this is trying to be like a Souls kind of game. And that is mostly about tone, mostly about the fact that it kind of doesn't shut up. You know, a Souls game, you know, something that I value in it is isolation. Mm-hmm. You know, you are in this dead place. There's nobody around. And, you know, you can read some stuff, like there are some messages around and you can pick up items and see stuff here. Everything here is voice acted. You know, you mm-hmm. You know, very early on, you find basically your interface for the game is done through this cute little droid, you know, this mm-hmm. this like focus tested droid. it's like a cuter BB-8, which is crazy.
It hangs out on your back too, that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Yoda style. Yeah.
And, you know, as you find new stuff and as you, you know, come upon like new objectives, your character, Cal, he starts, you know, he talks to the droid and the droid beep boops back to him and things like that. Mm-hmm. Which I can see being a good concession, especially if somebody wants something more cinematic and less esoteric and off-putting. Let's say then like the regular Souls kind of isolated experience, but mm-hmm. you know, so I can understand why they did it. It just it feels weird.
Does it get in the situation where it's like every 15 seconds he's like, yeah, I need to go over there, you know, or something like that?
No, it's mostly okay. When you break into a new area and you mm-hmm. find like you find like an obstacle or a series of obstacles, or there's like a new enemy type, or like your character has a special force ability or whatever to like go up to particular objects, and like in the force he can basically sense something about the people who used to be there or the people who used to use it. So it's mm-hmm. a way that you get like details about the ruins that you're going through. But again, mm-hmm. instead of being item descriptions, etc., it sounds like I am making the case that any change from the formula is bad. That's not necessarily what I believe, but this ultimately feels much more polished, and it's a little bit in your face more than I want. I want to work for the information that it is just giving me.
So it's like more hand-holdy, maybe?
A little bit, yeah. While not taking control away from you very much.
This sounds like a good game for me, then. Like,
it might be. Like, it might be something that you, you know, gets you into that style of game, or, you know, helps you appreciate certain parts of it. But yeah, it is pretty hand-holdy, I will I will say.
Okay.
You know, it's not enough to like stop me from wanting to play it, because like the combat's really fun and fast and all those things. Mm-hmm. The only other thing that I, you know, want to bring to this conversation about it is that the map is very good. So we've had 3D games for, you know, through 3D console games for, let's say 25 years now, 25, 30. Yeah. You know, yeah. Let's say 25. Launch of the
Mario 64 is the advent of 3D games.
Yeah. Yeah. 1995. So, you know, for the N64 and the PlayStation, let's say, mapping 3D space is really, really hard to do. Even mm-hmm. big studios like Bethesda fall down on it. You know, Nintendo really hit something good, or I guess Retro hit something very good with the Metroid Prime map that you have in that game. The 3D map in this game is very good, and that's not something that I expected to be as useful as it is, or as wanted mm-hmm. as it is, because, you know, a thing about the Souls games is, you know, part of the fun is exploring and like bumping up against the edges and, you know, having a false wall fall down and you find this whole optional area. That's not necessarily like tenable here, because so much of your so many of your powers are about traversal, you know, so mm-hmm. like you're going to be jumping around and ziplining and stuff like that. You know, it's not necessarily as coherent as a Souls world is going to be. That being the case, it's really nice that they have this good 3D map that is very legible. When you look at it, you can manipulate it, you can go up and down levels and things like that, but it doesn't actually show you a part of the map until you go there. So it's not like you're looking at, okay, this is the size and scope of the map. It's like, okay, I'm in this room, and now it is added to the map. So it doesn't spoil anything about the area, but also it marks entrances and exits. It tells you which entrances and exits you have used and which ones are blocked off to you. So, like, if you need to come back here with a different power, which is incredibly welcome. I really enjoy that they took that kind of care to give that kind of quality of life improvement, because of the way movement changes the way the world kind of is necessarily put together. So up there, it is a good 3D map, kind of along the lines of like, like the Doom 2016 3D map.
Okay. Yep. Does it at all feel a little bit like spoilery that they tell you, like, oh, you can't do this yet, you have to come back and another power will unlock it? Okay.
No, it's welcome. That's something that I really enjoy in specifically like Metroidvanias. Recent Metroidvanias will do that. They'll mark like, hey, here's a door that you can't get through because you don't have this, you know, widget or Bob. And even like survival horror games will do that as well. They'll mark locked doors and even tell you like what you need, you know. This is like
what suit you need to unlock it.
I'm thinking specifically of like Resident Evil 2 comparison, but yeah, those are my two salient thoughts about Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Do either of you have any questions about it?
I'm just trying to interpret how good map translates review wise to the game. So I can't tell if it's a compliment or an insult to the rest of the game.
No, it's good. It's definitely necessary, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have any questions? Oh, good.
Are there any bugs that you've noticed in the game? Because I know that, again, that was like one thing I asked before and one thing that I'd heard upon game's release, but.
No. Some like weird animation stuff in combat, but it's doing a lot in terms of combat. And it's been nothing that feels like explicitly broken. It's just like, oh, yeah, like that animation segue was not necessarily what it ought to have been.
But
yeah, okay. Nothing that really gets in the way. Yeah. Jolly, do you have any questions about that?
No, I do not.
That was a quick grind.
It was efficient.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Jala, what is the question that you ask the nice people?
So I've got to stop the flow for just a second. Say, okay. The reason why this question came up is because I have recently listened to Arnold Schwarzenegger's autobiography for reasons.
Okay.
And so because of this, I have been thinking about Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, and therefore I was thinking, who is your daddy and what does he do?
Kindergarten Cop, yeah.
My question to the nice people was, what video game character would be the worst at your job and why?
Yeah, this is a good question. And we got a lot of answers. So I'm going to jump right in here with Jonathan, who clarified in a comment saying that they work, they do merchandise for Coca-Cola. And they say any of them that might overthink it, Tetris Blocks, would be the best at it. So, yeah, lots of picking stuff and putting it down in nice, neat stacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I gotcha. Let's see here. Ben, what does Mike say?
Mike says, while I love Bowser, I'm not sure he'd be a particularly good librarian. He'd scare the kids at story time. His fire breath would be a serious OSHA violation. Not to mention highly inappropriate for working with library materials. and his customer service skills are honestly not that great. On the other hand, Bowser would be very handy member of the team for those times when I have to ask intoxicated people to leave the premises. Aww.
The thing about Bowser as a librarian is, God, fucking sentences, man.
He's not quiet.
No, he doesn't really do anything himself, so he would delegate it to a bunch of people who are really scared of him. So I don't know that you'd have to worry about him necessarily messing anything up.
This is true.
This is my this is my assurance to you. I'm not saying you have a bad answer, but I'm saying if you went to work tomorrow and Bowser was hired, it might not actually be terrible.
I never realized I was doing the podcast with a bunch of Bowser apologists over here. He steals women, all right?
Okay, he does steal women. Okay, you make a very good point. Jala, what does Austin say?
Sorry, I had to pause and mute it for a sec so I can type down that as a potential title. All right, so Austin says, I answer phones at hospitals and help discuss issues with patients who have after-hours needs, and I would love to see the Doom Slayer from Doom 2016 talk to patients.
He would punch them immediately when they... when he lost tension, when he lost his attention. Yeah, no, that would be that wouldn't be good. Be going through a lot of phones.
Just feel Indeed. Bad for the hospital in that situation.
Yeah, no.
Demons everywhere.
Yeah, the demons would follow him.
Imagine the lawsuits.
Oh. Dan writes, as a business development manager for a global payments company, Yes Man from Fallout New Vegas would be far too cheerfully explicit with the probability of implementing my proposal. As a colleague double-teaming on a pitch, he would be extremely annoying whilst making it impossible to dislike him due to his upbeat demeanor. On the other hand, you would have a coworker who is voiced by Dave Foley.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Forget about that.
I know. Everybody forgets that Dave Foley voiced Yes Man and what's his name? It was Matt LeBlanc? Okay.
Yeah.
Voiced Chandler Benny. Yes. Oh, man.
Matthew Perry.
Yes. I was going to ask, is it Joey or Chandler? Yeah. It was Chandler who voiced Benny. Yeah. No, you don't want somebody, you don't want a machine designed to tell the truth on a sales thing, even if you are not dishonest necessarily. Let's see, Ben, what does Roop say?
Roop says Murray would be useless as press brake and laser punch machine operator without a body.
Yeah, he'd be more of a supervisor or a motivational speaker. Jala, what does Ollie say?
Ollie says, I've been teaching a long time, and if there's one thing I've learned, it's that you need a lot of patience and an ability to laugh at yourself. So as for worst video game character to do this job, Kratos. Dude wouldn't last a day before crushing a kid. Dishonorable mention for Dante from Devil May Cry. That guy would try to be cool with the kids, teacher, and is a walking lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah, no, I would not give Dante authority.
Don't give Dante any children, please.
No. Yeah, and Kratos would definitely, he'd be throwing kids out windows. Yeah. Let's see here. Casey writes, GLaDOS would have a hard time doing workers' comp insurance claims, given her history of poor workplace maintenance practices. Or maybe she would do a great job applying all of her testing knowledge to claims. Yeah. I don't know.
This is true.
She
could be, but she's too you know, sadistic to want to do that job nicely without causing havoc, though.
Right. I could see her making life hell for the clients or for the claimants. I'm not sure what the term is in workman's comp insurance claims. I could see her being overly stringent, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see here, Ben. What does Lindsay say?
Well, a Big Daddy would certainly put a big dent in a few motorhome doors. Also, Wreck-It Ralph, but we already have done a few Ralphs in there as it is.
Yeah, you always need a Wreck-It Ralph around, you know? Somebody who's not afraid to get their hand dirty.
He's got more than one.
Jala, what does Greg say?
Greg says, Solid Snake would see a conspiracy in every single transaction I do at work about buying stocks and annuities, blame everything that the bank does on evil secret plots of the government, and get fired from poking around in the system too much. That or he'd go on a killing rampage after hitting his breaking point with the stupid reps I deal with on a regular basis.
Going on long soliloquies about the nature of the information system.
I just imagine him just sneaking around the office in a box.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a box.
the orange. Let's see here. Nathan writes, Thwomp would not. Sorry. Thwomp could not work at the DMV because even with accommodations required by the ADA, he would not be able to dexterously manipulate paperwork and computer equipment. Hell of a stamper, though. See, that's what you need. It becomes the office mascot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the job of giving him papers to stamp would be very hazardous.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah, no, exactly. You'd have to very quickly and run away.
You'd have to hire a very just a very professionally trained thwomp handler. Ben, what does Chris say?
Chris says, I work in an office. Stanley from the Stanley Parable would probably just wander around not doing any of my work.
Yeah, and only about a sixth of the time would he follow orders.
Yeah.
Jeff responds saying, probably Stanley. Dude just walks around like he's hearing voices.
Yeah, we got some pretty, there's a couple of very popular characters here. The next one, for example.
Yeah, yeah. Jala, what does Corbin say?
Corbin says, the Doom Marine would probably just chainsaw all the computers in the hospital that need fixing out of frustration.
Yeah, and he'd be right. and Marisan says Toad would be the worst QA. Oh, seems pretty diligent. He's always there telling you that the princess isn't there.
Whoa! He just hold up a sign with an exclamation point when something breaks.
Oh man, Ben, who would be bad at your job?
So some of the answers here are better than what I was thinking, but so I was thinking a programmer for the job, and I was thinking the guy from Resident Evil 4 who is blind and has giant claws on his hands.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty bad for typing on a keyboard. So.
Right? Oh, yeah. The Wolverine guy. He have to lure the bell.
Yeah, but that said, Thwomp would be even worse as a programmer, so.
Yeah.
I guess he could technically type the keys one at a time, though.
If they're big enough, yeah.
Hunt and pecker, yeah.
Jala, how about you?
Well, Boo from Mario would be a really terrible trainer because anytime a client looked at him, he'd stop. But he could probably do online training all right, but he couldn't work in a gym or do boot camps or anything. Right.
Boot camps. camps. I'll work on it. I'll keep on saying it five or six more times. Boot camp.
I sense the humor coming. Keep going.
Okay, just 10 more times. No, Boo's a good answer, especially for somebody who. Also, I mean, like motivation. It's probably better to, motivate somebody with encouragement rather than spooking them.
Or like being terribly frightened of them as soon as they look at you.
Yes.
Trainers have to portray confidence and know-how and whatever, and that doesn't really work if you're cowering.
Right. For mine, because not the majority of my work, I don't spend the majority of my time recording, but the money making part of my work is speaking. Any number of silent mute protagonists would be very bad at this. However, that feels like a cop out. So among characters who can and do speak, there are a handful, but I decided to pick the one who's. Pick the replacement whose job I could not do as well to make the worst mutual swap, which is Agent 47 from the Hitman series. I don't think that he would be unable to do this because he is very competent
and professional.
Yeah. Very competent and professional. I think that if it was necessary for a job, he would do it. However, his heart would not be in it, and your heart has to be in it in order to. In order to be a host, in order to get on and talk to folks. So
you can talk about Aroge.
Yeah.
You've got to be really passionate about this subject. Sorry.
And I would be just a miserable failure as a hitman. So that is Agent 47 is my answer. I would not want him to do my job.
Mm.
Yeah. That was a really good question, Jala.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And people gave very good answers. So in the future, if you want to participate in these, you can go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us that are exciting to us. Jala, what's going on with some AI?
So there was an AI researcher and assistant professor at the University of Alberta named Matthew Guzdial, and he is refining software that he created, which uses AI to generate its own versions of games, such as currently Super Mario Brothers, Mega Man, and Kirby's Adventure. And he and his team are building what he calls game graphs, which are essentially just dense, tangled webs of information and algorithms and all the stuff that, you know, all the wires and tidbits that make a game happen. And those are then fed into an AI, which then creates its own games. So because this is an academic endeavor, it falls under fair use, so it isn't likely to run into copyright issues for him basically taking the components of all of these games and then, you know, using it for this particular software. But he's hoping that the software will eventually help reduce the barrier to entry around game creation, much like how Mario Maker does. So that's the kind of principle behind it. And now that he's made this, he wants to make a tool that allows gamers to input factors about how a new game would look and feel and let his AI create a new game for them based on their input. And then the AI would make predictions, get feedback from the creator, and then make adjustments accordingly, much as like how I was talking about the game Bring to Light, which uses biometric feedback to adjust your experience, like your horror experience in that particular game. That game is one that I've actually mentioned a couple of times on the show previously because of the biometric feedback. I had read an article about it, and then also because I saw it at PAX South. So anyway, but this is kind of like a larger thing that's not just doing that, but also a way to help people make games. And he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want this to... You know, he's not making this in order to suddenly nix the existence of game creators. That's not the purpose. It's just a tool to use people, you know, like to tool that people can use in order to create their own games. So that way it's basically mostly for like indie titles and things like that. It's not something that would really affect any major game publishers for a very long time whenever they actually get a commercial release of it done. It's just a thing that's out there that's being studied, that's being worked on, that you know, makes sense that it's out there. It's not surprising that it's out there, but it's fun to read about, and the article has some videos and stuff attached to it where he's showing some of what his AI does. So
now, this is cool. I mean, like, this ultimately, like, for anybody who's afraid that this will it'll eliminate jobs for game designers, et cetera. Like, anything like this where you see where you see a story about like, oh, an AI composed a song, like that is a first draft that was spit out and then somebody used their editorial discretion in order to shape that and say, yes, this is good, or no, that is bad. So like this would be a way to like spit out, you know, to put in your parameters, it will go to the corpus of data and then it'll spit out a design that they accept or reject kind of like piecemeal as it goes along, you know?
Yeah. I'd be curious to see like how extensible this is. Like if it could put out a completely different game genre at all, or if it's just like, so for the example, Mario, if it only does like platformer type stuff, you know?
Well, and then too, at least not for the foreseeable future, is this going to be a thing where they can create a whole narrative the way that, you know, game developers who are humans can do, and, you know, work with the lighting and camera angles to make, you know, to elicit the emotive reactions. This is only the mechanical part that it's, you know, that it seems that they're focusing on that kind of stuff, not on the, you know, kind of experiential stuff. Like the stuff that the biometrics are being used for in Bring to Light are specifically experiential adaptations. But, you know, this guy seems to be working on specifically the mechanical end. So, you know, it's not going to be something that's suddenly going to replace RPGs or anything like that. I mean, like maybe the mechanics of it, but not the narrative or anything. But
if you're looking for like an implemented version that like that is not exactly this, but is AI in game design, AIDungeon.io. This game called AI Dungeon 2 that takes kind of procedural generation to text adventure. And apparently you get some really cool stuff out of that because, you know, it is like half leading you and half following you based on your input. But yeah, this is cool. I had no idea this guy was doing this.
And I didn't know about this AI dungeon thing. So cool.
Yeah. Let's see. I've got mine. It's going to be real quick. Netflix is on a roll recently with video game adaptation stuff. Castlevania was good. You know, not fantastic, but good. I like the first season at the very least. And The Witcher is very good. It was their most successful one and most successful new show ever by their old metrics or what have you. So it's not surprising that they would be going to that well again of video game adaptations. What is surprising is that they announced a new one by accident. And now the cat's out of the bag. So Netflix just kind of accidentally put out that they are doing a Resident Evil series. Basically, a summary was put out and then captured by the Resident Evil wiki. People are watching this. Resident Evil, the town of Clearfield, Maryland, has long stood in the shadow of three seemingly unrelated behemoths: the Umbrella Corporation, the decommissioned Greenwood Asylum, and Washington, D.C. Today, 26 years after the discovery of the T-Virus, secrets held by the three will start to be revealed at the first signs of outbreak. So already some changes, you know, not Raccoon City. This is not necessarily like a straight adaptation of any one game, you know, like, say, The Witcher is, or, you know, The Witcher is an adaptation of short stories. But continuing here, they pulled the announcement, but again, cat's out of the bag. I would be curious about this. I would state my I would state my current level of hype at cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they've got it in the hands of people who know what they're doing. It's impossible to know.
Isn't there another Resident Evil game coming out like next month?
I don't know about game. So there were some details about RE8 that were put out, although those are in question. Allison brought this to my attention like a week or so ago. So those need to be confirmed. And then they've got the RE3 remake, coming out in April.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. I'll watch it. It's fine. and Ben, what's going on over at BioWare?
Yeah, I got one last one. So BioWare announced that they're going to redesign Anthem, the game that came out a year or so ago lukewarm reviews, cold reviews, actually, not lukewarm, I guess. Reviews. So they said that within the next, they estimated on the timetables of months instead of years. Game designers are going to redesign the core gameplay of the main game loop. Mm-hmm. They said they were going to keep the combat and flying mechanics, but change other things.
Yeah.
They gave a pretty vacuous statement here, or a very jargony statement, but is reinvent the core gameplay loop with clear goals, motivating challenges, and progression with meaningful rewards.
You would want all of those things in an online game as a service shooter looter. If you were missing If you were missing those, what did all those people play?
Yeah. So I wanted to bring this up because it's kind of interesting. These Frankenstein games, kind of, where it's games being around for several years and continually being updated.
Yeah.
To try and find audiences that way. The one I'm thinking of in particular is No Man's Sky. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. So it's just a weird new pattern that seems to be developing. This one's more notable since it's a pretty major studio doing it. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how it turns out, if they can recoup money on it, if they put out a good quality experience, or if they don't, then it'll kind of maybe be disincentivize other companies from doing that. But at the same time, it's honestly, companies should learn from their mistake, do this the first time when they release a game, not rush it out. So
yep.
Yeah,
there is precedent for this. Final Fantasy XIV was put out and people generally considered it to be a rushed mess. And then they said, sorry, guys, our bad, gave a bunch of free playtime to people, and then basically re-released it as FF14, A Realm Reborn. And people love that game now. So, it's not impossible for BioWare to, to take, basically, if they can honestly take stock based on the, you know, the feedback that they got, they might be able to pull it out and create something that is, you know, more in line with what people would expect from BioWare.
So, I mean, No Man's Sky is an example of it too, right? Like, yeah. People who play that game now like it. But this makes me curious as to, like, maybe it's like they keep making a game long enough and the only people who stick around are the people who are going to like it. And it's like,
yeah, you already only have the people who are, like, willing to give you a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Well, good luck to them, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, this is a really fast episode, but I don't see a reason to drag it out. How do you two feel about buttoning it up?
I feel buttons.
The credit. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Level. It's been a good time. It's been very, very serious, straightforward, direct, to the point.
But fun. See, that said, it's under an hour and a half. It's still long. It's over an hour.
True. I just, you know, for us. I prefer
long for podcast standards, short for our podcast standards.
Yeah, right. I prefer the hour and a half episodes to the 2 hour episodes. So this is good. This is good. Regardless of what length of episode you like, you can do the same things for us. You can patronize us, patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Leave ratings or reviews on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends, if you have any friends who might know a good Orogi game for Jawa to play, maybe put that line out. You know, maybe just send screenshots to Jawa's public Twitter. No, you don't need to do that. Please don't.
I'm not going to be all upset about it. It's fine. Put it on my feed.
Don't post it on The Level's Facebook page, please.
Don't put it on the Facebook page.
But please don't. If there is anything explicit put there, I'm going to have to ixnay, and I'm going to have to nix it. So, just so you're aware. But most of all, come back next week. We like having you here. It's a lot of fun to do. Is there anything I'm forgetting?
No.
Okay.
Tight and fast episode.
Yeah. So I've been Cole Ross. You can watch my streams on Twitch, DuckFeedTV.
I'm Jolaton in all the places.
I'm Merkleby, I'm Ben at Merkleby on Twitch.
Identity crisis. And stick around for some titles. So I wrote down one, and Jala, I know you wrote it down as well. He steals women.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you feel about stylizing that with an exclamation mark?
Yes.
Okay. Ben, how do you feel about that? Your delivery on that was so good.
Yeah, it was.
When I heard Jolly write down the title, I was like, all right, I don't need to write down any titles.
Okay, so there's only one contender. Wow, that's rare.
No, I mean, like, I did write other ones, okay. but one's the best one. But I'll go ahead and tell you the other ones anyway. Thwomp Handler, that entertained me. Boot Camps. Which was terrible.
Yeah, I know, that was awful. I mean, I knew it was. That's why I kept saying it over and over again.
Yes, I know. And then, what did all those people play?
Sorry. Okay.
That's it. Okay. But still, He Steals Women needs to be the title. So, I mean, like, those are just for posterity's sake.
Yeah, no.
for the A Toady.
Most definitely. Cool. Sweet. All right. Well,
see, like, we even agreed on the title, like, bam, before we even finished. Yeah.
We're in sync.
I'm going to go for a run. I have so much time left with my evening. So. Right?
Cool. I'm going to go to bed in case I need to get down to Columbus early in the morning.
Yeah. Good luck with everything. Sounds like it's, I'm glad that it's in like a stable state. It seems like, you know, or.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Take care, all.
See you guys.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.